and sometimes you throw your hands up in the air. You know, I want to remind us of something this morning as we go through this message, and it's this. Our plans may get thwarted. Our plans might get sidetracked. Our plans might get delayed. Our plans might change, but God's doesn't. God's plan will always come forward. God's plan will never be thwarted. And it is good for me to be reminded of that. We were in competition with someone, but we had plans for a reunion last Saturday with my dad, because dad was going to be, he was 89 and he was getting up there, and we had plans for a reunion with dad, and dad had plans apparently, or God had plans for a different reunion. God won out. I guess I don't blame dad. To be with his wife and Jesus is a little bit better than being with the rest of us. So he went out on that. But our plans didn't work out. We still had a reunion. We had it without dad last week. And it was good to be together with most of the family last week. Although we had had an opportunity to be together when dad died too. And what a wonderful time it was to be together in spite of the circumstances. But you know, our plans, they don't always work out. They don't always work out the way we want them to. And for those who like well laid out plans, this is a difficult truth to accept sometimes. When we like to lay it all out there and plan each day, and whether it's our financial plans or whether it's our work-related plans or whether it's our retirement plans or whether it's our plans for vacation or it's our plans for this or whatever it is, it's difficult sometimes when the plans don't work out the way we want them to. I see that throughout Scripture. I see that with a lot of the characters in the Bible that had plans that they wanted to pursue, and it didn't always turn out the way they would envision them doing. But what I also see in those plans, those who are following God, those who are followers of Jesus Christ, that God's plan is never thwarted. Right here in the book of Acts, chapter 14, one of many places I could go, and perhaps there's better examples than this is, but I see it going on here, where here's Paul and Barnabas, and they're doing what they would normally be doing. They would go to the synagogue. Oftentimes, that's where they went to go ahead and teach the people about Jesus Christ, about the truth of God's Word. And they would go to the synagogues, and they would preach and share and gather there. They would be telling God's truth to those who would be willing to listen. And it was going well. It was going well. They taught in the synagogues. They taught in the temple. And in fact, Jesus himself did that oftentimes too, until it got untenable. And in the chapter 8 of John, verse 59, when Jesus was teaching and he got kicked out, in fact, they were ready to stone him, because it got rather untenable over time. It did the same thing for those disciples of Christ after he went home to be with God in heaven, and the church was building. There was a lot of things that got in the way of the well-laid plans of the disciples. But God's plan was never thwarted in all of that. We see it here. Preaching in the synagogues. That's where the religious gathered, just like the church in our day. And we see how things are going on in the church in our day. Well, there's some stuff that's going on that's kind of messing with this gathering of the church. There are things going on. We call it the pandemic or COVID or whatever you want to call it. This thing that has happened has put a wrench in the ability of the church to gather in the way we used to gather. It's put a wrench in this whole thing that I love to do when we gather, and that is to give hugs and to do those kinds of things that so many times that's exactly what a person needs just to get through that day or that next week. And so we have limited ourselves as to how we do what we do, you know, the tape between the pews so that we can keep our social distancing, and we don't have hymnals in the pews, and the prayer cards are not handed out, and all these kinds of things we're doing to try to be a little bit safer in the church. Our well laid out plans got messed up. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God knew what was going to happen. And God's plan has never been thwarted by humanity or the devil himself. Never. And as I look back, I can see it better than when you're in it. Sometimes when we're in it, we think, you know, you jerk, the devil. I mean, you've made a mess of things, and now all the good things that I planned on doing, I can't do them anymore because you messed it all up. I mean, we were doing so well as a church before this happened. Well, I think we're still doing well even while it's going on. Because God's plan is never going to be thwarted. I believe that with all of my heart. And I believe scriptures attest to that. So here's Paul sharing in the synagogues. Things are going well. People are coming to Christ. I mean, how much better could it be than what was going on in verse 1 of chapter 14? There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. Awesome. He was effective. Even though he had a speech impediment, I want to remind you of something. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, those first four verses, reminds us that Paul had an issue with his speech. Not exactly sure what it was, but he says he doesn't speak very eloquently. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit is guiding you, you don't really need to speak that eloquently, because the Holy Spirit speaks through us and speaks in such a way that even with an impediment, God's plan is never thwarted. Jeremiah in the Old Testament, he said in chapter 20, verse 9 of Jeremiah, he couldn't hold it in because God had something for him to do. And even though there's a part of him that didn't want to do it because he was dealing with people who were angry at him, he was dealing with people that were not really kind to him, and yet he just couldn't hold it in. Why? Because God said, this is my plan, and it's going to happen. And he was using Jeremiah. But there's always the enemy out there. Sometimes the enemy is ourself. Sometimes it's our own sin. Sometimes it's the devil himself. Sometimes it's some other entity or person or thing or whatever it is. Always out there trying to thwart whatever it is we are trying to do. And it frustrates us sometimes, doesn't it? There are those out there just like in Paul's day. Those who refuse to believe in the second verse of that text that was written in Acts. The Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers so that there was division that started. Here was the devil's work, trying to undo that which God was doing through his disciples, and the devil was trying to do what he could to poison it. That can happen in the church as well, where there are those that don't have God's idea and God's will in mind, and sometimes that causes things that should not be in the church of Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you, even when that happens in an imperfect church, God's plan will never be thwarted. Paul was speaking boldly. He wasn't going to give up. He told the people in verse 3 that, in essence, their lives would confirm what they say. And ours should as well. You know, as we live our lives, you know, what you say perhaps has some bearing on what people think. But what you do, I think, even has more bearing. It gives credence to the words that we say. And so many times we can say all the right things. We can say all the things that are the churchy and the Christian and the godly things to say, but if our lives are not matching what that truth is, then those who are out there watching and listening and looking, they don't see that there's a whole lot of credence in the words. But Paul was practicing what he was preaching. He was speaking with enthusiasm. You know, that's another thing, too. In my years of ministry, I've known from time to time certain clergy that have all the right things to say, but when they say it, it seems like they aren't enthused at all about what they're sharing. I mean, to me, it's exciting to share God's truth. To me, it's like, hot diggity dog, look at what we got here. And yet there are some that just sit there and say, it is God's word. And it is the truth. And I really want you all to just kind of get it. Okay? I mean, what's enthusiastic about that? I mean, that's not very convincing to me. It is God's truth. And we read these stories and I see how God's working. And to me, it excites me that in spite of myself, in spite of my flaws, in spite of my inability to do the things that God really wants me to do, God's plan isn't going to be thwarted. And I'm hoping He wants me to be a very integral part of it. You know, the interesting thing about the gospel, in the Church of Jesus Christ, the gospel is meant to unite. Outside of the Church of Jesus Christ, the gospel divides. There's an irony in that, isn't there? There's an irony in that. Outside of the Church of Jesus Christ, when the gospel is shared and the truths of God are shared, it causes division. But it should never cause division within the Church of Jesus Christ. As He tells us, you know, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit, oneness in Christ. This gospel convicts and judges, but it also cleanses and redeems. It does both at the same time. Hebrews 4:12 says it's a double-edged sword. The enemy is working hard, folks. The enemy is working hard. Verses 5 and 6 of this text, as all this is going on and things seem to be going well, but there's division going on and people are poisoning things and all that sort of stuff. When Paul and Barnabas thought things were going so well, and this, pardon my expression, this crap has to happen, there was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and the Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them, Paul and Barnabas. But they found out about it, fled to someplace else. But what happened when they fled to someplace else? There they continued to preach the good news. You see, from the human eyes, it looked like the plan was thwarted. From human eyes, it looked like things got all messed up. But if we would look down on that from God's eyes, God's looking at that and saying, hey, I got something else for you, Paul and Barnabas. You planted the seed here and you've done a good job here, but I got another plan for you. We're going elsewhere and we're going to go elsewhere. You're going to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and people in that community are going to know Jesus Christ. It's not going to be thwarted. It's not going to be thwarted. That text we read this morning in Isaiah, the fourth verse of that chapter, says just this. In fact, let me share with you the exact words. That fourth verse of that chapter says this. But I said, I have labored to no purpose. Probably what Paul is saying and Barnabas is saying when this thing is going on and they've been poisoned and now they're likely to be stoned if they hang around. Oh, you know, what am I going to do? Isaiah, in the same vein, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet, what is due me is in the Lord's hands. You see, He's got a proper perspective here. It doesn't look from my own eyes like it's going very well. But He says, it's in the Lord's hands. And we need to be reminded of that from time to time, folks. Sometimes we're trying to do good stuff all on our own, in our own strength. Perhaps we need to look at it a little bit differently. See, I need to do what I'm doing in God's strength, not in my own strength. And trust Him with the outcome wherever it takes me. That's where I need to go. You know, the enemy's out there plotting. It looked like in this text, the devil won, but he didn't. In Acts chapter 8, when the church was doing really well in Jerusalem and the immediately surrounding area, but it wasn't really getting out there very far. Well, what happened? The enemy saw that good things were going on in Jerusalem and that area, but then what happened is the enemy thought, you know, I got to stir up some trouble. So you know what happened? The church was persecuted and it scattered. The result of that is the rest of the book of Acts. The result of chapter 8 in Acts, when the church was persecuted and then scattered, the result of that was Paul and Barnabas and others going to all these places, all over the place, and the church was started in all these different areas. Why? The enemy thought he'd mess with things, but God said, my plan will not be thwarted. The Word of God goes on. It's not confined to one place. It's not confined in this building. It's not confined in this gathering here. I certainly can't wait till we all can be together without any kind of fear of spreading a virus, without any kind of anxiety about being in close proximity to each other. I am praying that someday soon we can get back to that point, because I believe God created us for human contact. I believe God created us for intimacy. And so I believe it's important for us to get to that point. Some of you have already said, and I've told you, look, if you need a hug and you're okay with me giving you a hug, I'll give you a hug. I could care less. I'll give you the hug. But I also want to respect those that say, you know, Dave, you're probably all messed up with germs, so stay away from me. I respect that too. I'll stay away. But God made us. God made us to be in close fellowship with each other. And I can't wait till that day once again when it happens. But I'm also convinced of something else as I bring this to a close. I'm convinced that even in the midst of this pandemic, and it may be hard to see in light of the church. I mean, we look at our attendance, we're less than half what we normally are this time of year. If you looked at that, you'd say the church is failing, things are... I believe that God is working underneath and through all this thing in some more powerful ways that we can't even see right now. I mean, the fact is, we were old school in the church. We never put anything on Facebook. I mean, we did have the Facebook page, and we did things from time to time. But after this thing whole started, we had an opportunity to think, well, how do we reach the people in the church? My first thought was just reaching the people in the church. And so we thought, okay, I'll start doing little doodads on Facebook, and then we'll do... I didn't know how to do Facebook Live at first, so we recorded the service. Then after the service, I'd send it out to whoever. And now we're reaching a lot more people than we ever reached before the coronavirus. And so I say, God, your plan is not being thwarted. You're saying, Dave, folks in the Church of the Straits, we're going to do things a little bit differently, at least for a while. And maybe what we'll do in the future is we'll keep doing it that way, but we're going to get back together again, because we need to get back together again as well. The church, I believe, can explode through times like these, because it's in times of fear, it's in times of insecurity, it's in times of, I don't know what in the world's going on, that people will finally be brought to their knees again and say, you know what? I can't trust anything or anyone else. I got to trust you, because you have proven to be trustworthy. So what does it mean for you and me? I've said it probably a dozen times already. God's plan is not thwarted, no matter what your circumstances are. That's a truth. For believers in Jesus Christ, that's a truth. His plan is not thwarted, no matter what it looks like right now, no matter how grim or dull or mundane or not what you thought it was going to be, it looks, God's plan is not being thwarted. Just ask Him, trust Him, talk to Him. He will go before you, He will go behind you, He will go within you, and He'll go without you. So that His plan will never be thwarted. Having confidence in Him gives me confidence in me. Now, I don't want that to sound the way it might sound. I don't feel an arrogance about that at all. I'm just confident in my God, and because I'm confident in my God, I'm confident that as I walk with Him, we together could do anything. Because God's plan will not be thwarted. Do you trust God with that? Yes. That's a truth, not just a corporate, universal truth. That's a truth for you individually in your own life, that God's plan for you will not be thwarted. Things might change in some very weird kind of ways, and even ways you don't understand, even in some painful kind of ways, but God's plan for your life will not be thwarted if you just trust Him and walk through it. You have confidence in that. He did it time and time and time and time again here with all the biblical characters that put their faith and trust in Him as well. He'll do it for you too as well. I believe that 100%. So devil, your butt's getting kicked. You remember the little song that we did a little while ago? It wasn't a VBS song. Remember the little white box song that I sang to you guys? How many of you know the little white box song? If I had a little white box to put my Jesus in, I'd take Him out and... and share them with my friends. And if I had a little black box to put the devil in, I'd take him out and smash his face and put him back again. Let's stand and sing the last hymn, Trust and Obey. When we walk with the